Thank you, Jeremy. And let me tell you this: the dark side knows if you're a believer or not. They know if you're in their. They know if you're in your in the neighborhood. They don't want you to know they're there, but they know when you're there. And their greatest fear is that you start mentioning the name of Jesus. That's just a fact. And sometimes, when we're growing in the Lord, or when we're very mature, just babies in Christ, we miss a lot because we don't understand it. So we'll say a prayer tonight, and when we're done, and we're asking God to continue to strengthen our church, and as we've asked the Lord to continue to as we prayer walk in the community, that God will use us to be a light in this community. And we know that there, you know, I've talked to Jeremy before, that there is witchcraft in the community, and he verifies some of the things that I've shared with him, and knows some of the things that's happened here, but we'd be foolish not to believe that it doesn't exist, and we'd be foolish to believe that it's not in this neighborhood, because it is. Yeah, I've even shared a story. I've listened to a man talk to me in New Haven and knew exactly what was going on in this community because he was a part of it. So they will go and they will do and they will work the stuff. So we'll pray about that a little bit later tonight. But we are in the book of Judges tonight. That's where we are. And I almost broke away from Judges tonight, but I chose to stick on Judges tonight. So we're going to be in Judges chapter 4 and 5. But I do want to, as you're turning over there, there were some other great judges that came up. Othniel and, what's his name, Ehud. Those are some great, these guys are pretty strong warriors and good judges. They've done some things, and I want to tell you one thing. It is that God chose, like I said before last week, that God's choosing some people that you and I would probably never choose. And thank God that we are not the ones that choose the leaders. But we're going to talk about four little things in leadership that we need, because we are all leaders in some sense. And as a believer, I believe that we need to learn leadership. Even if you may not be in leadership in certain, you know, in leadership areas, you are in more in leadership areas than you think. And we need to work through that. We are to be followers, but followers of Christ. But we are to be leaders in our family and leaders at our work and leaders in places. Well, usually when we preach and we teach, a lot of times it's about men. Tonight, mostly it's about a woman named Deborah. And at this time, if you think that our culture is hard on women today, if you go back to this time, it was very, very hard on women back then. And this was a time that it was very, 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 very hard. And for this woman to be where she is, this was not a pushover. This was not a pushover type person. This is not a person that you could push. You begin to read, if you keep reading the chapter over and over, and hopefully you might have read it at least once, there were some things in here that just shows the impressiveness of this woman who God used and was a leader amongst the people. And at this time, usually people would always look for the men to lead. And there are men who led through this. And there were some who did not do some of the things they were supposed to. But we're going to read some scripture here tonight that's going to share some things about Deborah. I don't know if you know much about her. But once we see the same thing going on continuously. God's people would keep doing the same thing. They'd get in that circle we talked about last week. They'd start here with God. And basically, they would fall away from God, and they would choose these gods and idols, start worshiping them, and they would get into trouble, and then they get to this point, oh, Lord God, we need you, we really messed up, and God would say, okay, and he would send a judge and rescue them, and then they'd be like, yay, this is great, and all of a sudden, they would fade away. Once that judge would die, they would fade right back into a false god, and begin to worship idols. And then they would do the same thing. Oh, Lord, we need you. Kind of like us sometimes. When we get to a place where we get in trouble, we're like, the first thing we do is we go to God. And we're supposed to. But that's not the only time we're supposed to go to God, right? But we are supposed to go to God when things aren't going well. But not just in those times. And a lot of these people, they did it just in those times. And what is amazing to me is the greatest hero in this book to me is God, who continues to work with people who keep bucking him, keep walking away from him. They want what he has. It's like they want what he has, all the gifts, but they don't want to do anything. So Deborah is a prophetess. We see it in verse 4. She's a person that God speaks through, a prophetess. We only see maybe three or four prophetesses in the Bible here, but we see she's the wife of Lapidoth, who she was leading Israel at the time. She held court under the palm of Deborah. Like a tree of Deborah. Between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. That was really odd at this time. It's really odd even through the whole Bible that people would come with their disputes to have this woman decide what was going on. And she sent for Barak. Barak, you can call him Barak. Barak is son of Abinoam from Kadesh. And some of these names are a little bit long. Nephtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you." Now, some of your versions may say, "Has not the Lord God commanded you?" Now, there's a big difference. And I like the versions. Most versions will say, "Has not the Lord God commanded you?" Okay, which means it seems as though he already pretty much may have known about this already. Has not the Lord God commanded you? And we see this, that she has him brought in, and he says, "The Lord of God commands you, go and take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, none, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera and the commander of Jabin's army and his chariots and his troops in Kishon River and give you into his hands." Now, I just read it. Hopefully it's not the first time that you've read this, because there's so many names and you could forget all about all this, the names. But you need to know those names. Those names all come into play in the story. But what we see here is we see Deborah speaking to this man named Barak, and he is to go out and take 10,000 men, and he is supposed to go into a battlefield. Now, it's funny, everybody comes to this woman and they come to her and asking to make decisive and make decisions over these disputes, pretty much being a judge. And really, this is one of the few that you really see doing the judge, who really does, out of the judges, that she really does a lot of judging. And so she does these things, and this woman is as much as we can say, and we can see through here, she is a leader. Okay? People don't follow people who are not leaders. Now, you can be a good leader, or you can be a bad leader, but people follow leaders. People follow leaders. And so we know this woman is a leader. And how do we know that? We see this piece here. Verse 8. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you do not go with me, I won't go." So he's saying, I'll go to the battle. But I'm not going if you're not going. Now, we can say, does she have a sword? No, we don't see that. But what we know, we do know this, is she has power. She has a power amongst the people. She's a leader amongst the people. People will not go, and he will not go without her. Now, he is somewhat of a warrior because he's a leader. Because Deborah says, "Listen, you need to take 10,000 men with you and go to this battle." Now, there's a lot of pointers in these kind of things when you see God begin to tell men to go out to battles. And many times the battle is not during the battle. That's what we got to pay attention. And the battle is not always when the battle starts. It's what happens before the battle. It's about listening. It's about obeying. It's about doing what the presidential things, doing those things before, the pretense, doing those things before the battle. The battle's the easy part. If God says he's going to give you a victory, you got the victory. Okay? But here it is. He wants to put a condition on it. And she said, "Very well. Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you, but because of the way you're going about this." Now, we don't see everything that's in there, but there must be a way he's going about it, and it's this: "I'm not going, and I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to let you go. I'm just not doing it. I'm not going to do it." He's not thinking about 10,000 men. I can do this with 10,000 men. He's not thinking about it because the Lord told him to. He's looking at the one thing that he wants to be along with, and it is her. Women do not go. Israelite women do not go to battle. This makes no sense. This makes no sense. So she's willing to go, But he says, I'm not going to go unless you go. Now, that was just not normal. You would say, all right, I'll go if I'll take you. I'll go with another 10,000. I'll go with another 5,000. I'll go with 15,000 guys. I want the numbers. No, I just want one more person. You. You. I want you to go. And she's a woman. Now remember, culture in here says, no, this is not going to happen. You know, this doesn't happen. Woman stands over there, men over here talking. This is the way it was. And the conversation continues to go. And she says, okay, it'll be all right. I'll go with you. But because of the way that you're going about this, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will hand a Sisera over to a woman. Now we think when you first read it, you think it's going to be Deborah. You do. You think it's going to be Deborah. But that would be normal for this story. It's what we would think. Because when we read it, we think that's who it would be. We think that that would be the obvious choice. But remember, God doesn't choose the way we choose. It would might be a likely piece that, yeah, Deborah gets the victory. Deborah is the one. All of the honor and glory goes to her because she's a judge. It's expected. So Deborah went with Barak, and so they went. We see the continuous parts, and they go on out to battle. Now, I'm going to read a part here, and then we're going to kind of come back a little bit, because I want to go into the song of Deborah, which a lot of times we don't go into the songs that we see, the few, Miriam's song, Mary's, we just don't get into some of the songs that the Bible really has, but I think there's details in there that would help us through some of these things. But what we see is the guy that they're looking for, he's on the run. So I'm going to read this straight through. It's going to seem a little bit, I'm just going to read it straight through. They're all out there on the battlefield. So Sisera, however, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was friendly relations between Jabin, king of Hazar, and the clan of Hibar the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid. So he entered her tent and she put a cover on him. So here's the guy they're chasing. Puts him under a tent and covers in the tent and covers her with a blanket. Going to hide because of all the Barak's guys are running through. Going to go find him. That's the trophy, right? You can get everybody, but if you don't get the leader, you didn't get them. This is why they run till they run them down to the ground until they get the leader, because it's expected that a leader is going to lose soldiers on the battlefield. But it's when you get the leader, it sends panic throughout the enemy's forces. Does that make sense? Okay. So he's hidden underneath the blanket. So he entered their tent and she put covering over him. So the woman did. He said, I'm thirsty. He said, please give me some water. So she opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink and covered him up. Stand by the doorway of the tent, he told her. So she's telling him everything. He's telling her everything to do. If someone comes by and asks you, is someone here? Say no. No, no one's here. Go on down. Next tent. But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg. Now, I want to tell you, it's not the plastic tent pegs you go at Kmart. These are tent pegs. I mean, you got to remember, their tent pegs are big. They're like this. They're not little tent. No, their stuff had to go through sandstorms and storms and had to main. They had to work. You just don't knock them down, okay? This is where they lived. Okay, you set it up. You don't want to keep resetting it up. So, big tent peg. So she picked up a tent peg and she hammered and it went quickly into him. While he lay fast asleep, exhausted, she drove the tent peg through the temple into the ground, and he died. So the tent peg went through his head and into the ground. So she pegged him right to the ground, right? So we see all of that, and what we end up finding out is, so he went in with her, and there he lay, Sisera, with the tent peg through his temple, dead. And what we see here now is a song is going to be sung about. Now on that day, Deborah and Barak, and they began to sing a song, okay? This is how they testify, okay, many times. Now, as they go through the song, I'm only going to pick a couple pieces, okay? In verse 7, it says, village life in Israel ceased ceased until I, Deborah, arose. You'll see more about female lifting up the female name than you will see any much of the men at all. But village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose in mother in Israel, a mother in Israel. God used her in a mighty way. Verse 12, wake up, Deborah, wake up and break out into a song because there's a victory here. Arise, O Barak, take captive your captives. And that's about much. That's about not much more you're going to hear about him, because the victory and the honor is going to go to her. Let me tell you something. In Christianity, you cannot steal somebody else's glory that God gives to them. Now, the world does it all the time. You cannot steal the honor that God gives to someone. You might think you can, but God will see it and God will reveal it for what it is. False. Okay? So we see that there's a peace here. And what we do is we see that there were even some individuals here, we find out, that didn't go out to battle, that should have went out to battle, that they stayed in their ships, and some stayed over the inlets. And so there were some even from the tribe that didn't even go out to this battle, but they continued on. This is the type of person that Deborah was. If Deborah would have turned around, everybody else would have turned around, because they would see Barak turn around and they were following him and Barak was following her. Well, we see here in verse 24, most blessed is the woman of Jael, the woman of Heber, the Canaanite. Most blessed of tent-dwelling women. So her name is lifted up. Her name is lifted up in a way that it is lifted up above even Barak's. I want to give you a couple of pieces. I want to tell you a couple of principles of victory that's right here. One of them is you've got to have a vision. You have to have a vision. And really, truthfully, that vision needs to come from God, the Holy Spirit. Deborah didn't say, I think it's a great idea that we run out here and we go to battle. Hey, Barak, I think it's a great idea you go out there and get some of these people off our back and go. No, did not the Lord say, you need to go to battle? There needs to be a vision. And there's no greater vision than the vision that God gives, His Holy Spirit gives. And God's working in His Holy Spirit to work through some of you in a vision that He says set forth for you. For God has a vision for individuals. He has a vision for your family. He has a vision for the church. He has a vision for you and I. And we need to figure out what that is. And sometimes it's not all given to us. And sometimes it's given to us in bite sizes. For some of us, it's a big bite. And we're like, whoa. Others of it, it's given to us not yet, but down the road. We anticipate it. We need to anticipate it. There has been a great vision that has been given to all of us, that when we die, that our body, to be separate from the body, is to be in the presence of the Lord. That heaven awaits those. Your name must be written in the Lamb's book of life. There's a great vision that God sees. The great white, not the great white throne, but the great dinner table. We're part of that. So we need to have vision in our life, but also valor. We need to have valor in our life. We need to have, which is basically courage. We need to have courage. And I think that's where Barak, he just said, he had courage, but a lot of it came from others. And our courage needs to be in the Lord. We need to have courage. And God even commanded Joshua, be strong and courageous. We need to be men and women of courage. We are not to be fearful. God did not give us a spirit of fear. We see that. But God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. To be able to think right, make good decisions. But we need to have that. And Deborah had that. She had that. She had that not only vision, but she also had that courage to do it. I'll go with you. Might be the only woman out there, but I'm going to go with you. Also think she had to have some vigilance. Have to be wise. I won't ask at hands, but how many of y'all think you're not very smart? There's times I don't think I'm very smart. And that's okay. As long as we know where our wisdom comes from. God's Word. Through our prayer life, seeking and hearing God's voice, wisdom. We need some vitality. These are words that you don't hear from the world anymore. Some vigilance. We need vision and valor and vigilance. We need those things. But also we need vitality. Vitality is that inner strength that you have that is not just you alone, but it is the Holy Spirit that wrestles inside of you, that groans when you're praying and works through and puts a purpose in your life that's not your own. This life that you live is not your own anymore. You share it with the Holy Spirit. And that's one thing we don't talk about, but your life is to be shared with God now that He saved you and redeemed you. That you didn't do very good when you were in total control, but now you let God be a part of it. You need to share that life with Him and allow Him to put His hand on you and to move you in directions. And here He may say, listen, pick it up, move forward. Yeah, there's an enemy that's bigger than you, but you don't know. But I've already knocked him out. I've already seen it. That's one thing God does. I've already seen it. They lose. That mountain's gone, but you got to go up through the mountain. And I'll remove it, but I'm not going to remove it while you're standing over here. I'm only going to remove it as you walk with a vision and you see it. I'm only going to move when you go through it with that inner strength, and when you begin to have courage through it, and you begin to have wisdom in it. And when you stand before it, then you can call out on my name. And then you can believe that I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It's not when you're way out here. It's when you're standing in front of that mountain. That's when you're going to see God move. And we need to remember. We need to remember those things. And so this thing is wrapped up in a verse 31. It says, so may all your enemies, they're singing this. What a great thing. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord. But may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. And then it says, then the land had peace 40 years. God wants you to have peace in your life. But you're not going to get it doing the way that we want to do it. Peace only comes from the way that if we do it and we let God be a part of our life. Give Him your life. Let Him work His things through you. There's an enemy that's going to stand in front of you. And he may not be there today. But he's going to be in front of you because he's going to dare you to be the man or the woman that God, you believe that you think that you are through him. The enemy is never impressed by your words. Never impressed by your words. He only sees what you do. He only sees what you do because words do not affect him. But if you believe in the words that you speak, you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in you, then there's a fear that comes upon his side, and you see, and upon your enemies, that they will move and they will run. And they will run and they will hide. The Bible says that we are to resist the devil. Bible says when we do it, he will flee. I mean, he didn't walk away. He didn't crawl away. He flees. And he's not fleeing because you spoke some words. He's fleeing because you are standing in front of him with vitality in Christ, with all the things, the courage and the wisdom of God and all those things that you're becoming the man and woman that God called you to be. There was one person that the enemy did not know who they feared. But there was a person who came into this whole thing, and it wasn't Barak himself. It was truly Deborah. And Deborah was the one who said, listen, there's already a victory. She said it in a way that he probably didn't even catch it. And let me just share this with you. It says, has not the Lord God commanded you? Go and take with you 10,000 men and lead them to the mountain. And he basically says, and I will give him into your hands. That wasn't enough for him. He says, okay, I'll do it, but you got to go with me. She already told him that God gave him a victory. So he traded that because he had fear in there. He traded it out. He said, if you will go with me. Sometimes God wants you to go through a fight, which is you and him. Because that Deborah is not always going to be there. It is sometimes good to do things to do together, but there are times when God wants you to work it out with you and him. Because if we lean too much on that individual, we begin to think that they are God and not him. And so we need to remember that. We need to remember that. And as it goes like this, I'm going to close now. It says again in chapter 6, and again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. We blame everybody else but ourselves when we get ourselves in trouble. And the Israelites were in trouble because they themselves did evil in the eyes of the Lord. We're always praying for our problems to go away, and sometimes God is allowing those problems. So what happens is we're praying against our Father. Our Father, the Bible says God disciplines those whom He loves in the Old Testament. And He says in the New Testament, God disciplines those whom He loves. And He loves you enough to discipline you. And sometimes that discipline is exactly what God is allowing to happen. Yet we think everything is crashing down. And we think it's the devil. We think it's all the bad circumstances. And what we end up doing is we're missing the problem. The problem is ourselves. And we cause the problem. And this is the whole book of Judges. People never looked in the mirror and said, it's our problem. They always said, God, save us. God, help us. And once again, God would turn around and say, and He would send a judge. And He would work through that judge and deliver them from the being captives or prisoners or slaves or whatever it may be. The hardships and the poverty and everything, and everybody's thinking it's everybody else's fault. It's because they took their eyes, and then once again He would bring up a judge, they would do well, and then the next chapter would say, and the Israelites did evil and the sons just over and over and over again. Yet they never confess their sins before God. Sometimes our bad situations and circumstances are because we are doing it. And God's not going to remove it until we get right with Him. Amen? Amen? Deborah's an awesome woman. But I will tell you this, behind that woman is an awesome God. Because there is no awesome people without an awesome God. Amen?